Avalon's finest is able to regroup, and as you do, you have a lot to talk about.
Feels a hero. Just want to say that real quick, but
seconded. I believe, yes, indeed, we do have quite a bit to talk about. Perhaps it would be best for us all to gather together, perhaps discuss this, what we will do, where we will go, and what decisions need to be made.
Randy is just sitting across from the lantern that holds his friend, and he's just thinking of all the memories that he had with him, all the times that they argued, all the times that they, you know, played pranks on the other adventurers, and kind of in shock right now that it all happened so quickly. He's just sitting there.
And we'll place a hand on your shoulder and say, "We'll do everything we can to get him back." Who else is around in our rooms currently?
Are you in your rooms, or are you? Are you guys on deck, or where are you at? I mean, you could have gone anywhere in the ship, so where do you want to be?
Well, this all took place in the crew quarters, right? For the most part.
Well, the fight raged outside, you know, on the deck in that area.
I think we ended when he read the letter to us, so we're kind of already gathered together at some point.
Okay, so maybe since Barkus is still rowing, we're all down, I guess the galley is what it's called?
The kitchen?
No, sorry. Wherever the oars are, that compartment, and we're that's where Randy is, because that's where.
Okay, it would be a little bit stuffy down there.
Okay.
At this point, it's enclosed. It's lower to the water. There's not really a breeze down there or anything. It would be more comfortable on deck. And currently, the crew is, nobody's paying attention to you guys. If you had a question or needed something, there are a few people that would definitely try to help you, but the crew are mourning their own losses as well.
Okay,
you guys can be below deck if you want, but it's not necessarily as comfortable below deck as it is above decks.
Okay. Is everyone okay with being up on deck?
Yeah, Randy is sitting on a barrel, one of the barrels like that are leaned against the mast, and the lantern is on another barrel.
This is an hour or two, like it's a little while after we got away. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock.
Okay, I'm fairly certain.
Yeah, it is 10 o'clock. You guys were attacked right at dawn, so this is probably 3 hours since the end of the fighting. Since it was out of sight, but you guys, the rowing went on and on and on, like, nobody wanted to slow down until you put as much distance between them and you as possible, and so that's why it wasn't really till 10 o'clock when everybody was just too tired to keep going, that you just kind of stopped.
I think Bark is just exhausted. He's probably back in his bunk, wiped out, or I don't know. He wouldn't be he wouldn't be the most coherent in any kind of exchange at this point. He definitely exerted himself probably a little more than he really should have, even keeping up with a big guy at work there.
Well, I think we're mostly out of danger, so it's a good time to assess our situation. And we've already been up this part of the river, and we dealt with at least some of the major threats that were here, so
I agree. I have some things to say, and they may not be easy, but I feel that it's best for it to be said. I'm not going to mince words. What happened this morning was a tragedy. Not one, but two. The crew of the ship has lost their captain on a voyage that should have been routine. A light snuffed out while defending his crew. I don't blame them in the least bit if they wish to simply return to port and grieve the loss of their commander and friend. In fact, I believe that for them, this is the right action to take. And I won't even ask for us to try to dissuade them. This is not their fight. Not yet. Perhaps they should simply take the time to bury their dead in his family grave and weep while they have the chance. But with that being said, we all have experienced a tragedy of our own. We have lost a dear friend and companion in Alex to a curse that we do not know if it can be reversed. I know that this hits us just as hard as the death of the captain has hit the crew, as we have lost one. As we have lost one who is just as much our leader as captain could ever be. But I want to make it perfectly clear. I do not believe that our decision should mirror that of the crew's. The reason we came out on this journey wasn't simply to regain a shiny bubble or make a quick grab at glory. We decided to go down this route to prevent a warlord from gaining the support and means of starting a bloody campaign across the countryside. If we turn our back now, we allow the symbol of rule to arrive at its destination unhindered, then many, many, many more will die. If we have the chance to make a difference and choose to ignore it, then our indifference and complacency makes us accomplices. The crew needs to go home. There is no doubt in that. But we need to continue. The reason that we came out here has not changed. It is just as strong as when we first left. I believe that we should look for a way to possibly return Alex to the way that he could have been. But if we turn back and immediately go look for it, the sacrifice that he gave in fighting off the dragon with us would have been for nothing. But I don't want to make this decision by my own. What do you think? What are your thoughts? We are a group still.
My first reaction is that we should go back, but I think Alex would actually want us to keep going. I mean, I've known him since I was a little girl, and once he has a mission set in his mind, he wouldn't want us to turn back. So, I think we should keep going.
Randy, while Min was saying her piece, Randy was listening, but he kind of wasn't making eye contact with anybody. He was just kind of staring at the ground. After she finished, and after Philia said what she said, he jumps off the barrel and just kind of walks over to the group and everything, and he actually puts his arm around Philia and says, "Guys, when I joined this crew, when I joined this this troop, I kind of had my own reasons for joining, and I really didn't intend to, you know, stay longer than I needed to. You know, I mean, you guys are great and everything, but I had my own thing that I needed to do. Now that I see what dragons can do, what damage they can cause, this tragedy that they cause, I see why you guys are researching them, are hunting them, and I just I don't know. I'm not great. I'm not as good with speeches as Min here, but I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm with you guys. I'm with you till we see this through, whatever this is. And he holds up the lantern. And until we get Alex back.
Philia's crying, but she gives him a half smile.
May I see that? She'll point to the lantern and consequently Alex.
Yeah, here you go.
She's going to open it and see if she can catch him.
All right, go ahead and give me a handle animal check. It won't be too difficult since he was in the lantern.
16?
Yeah, you're able to get a hold of the lizard and pull him out.
Okay, and then I'm going to cast Remove Curse on him. See if that does anything.
All right, I need you to give me a caster level check. And actually do a... Yeah, give me the caster level check first.
24.
Okay. All right, good. And go ahead and roll for remove curse. You roll another caster level opposed to the spell level of the curse, right? Yes, so go ahead and give me another caster level check.
That one was a 23.
All right, just a minute. All right. You said you have a 23?
Yep.
All right. You cast Remove Curse on the lizard. And as you cast the Remove Curse on the lizard, you feel the magic enter into the lizard, and you begin to see... It almost seems like the lizard... changes color a little bit, seems to pulse with the magic, and then quickly begins to regain size. As Alex is restored. However, as he is restored, he does come to his senses in front of you all before passing out.
Min looks in shock at the, I guess, now shattered, well, I guess she pulled him out first, at Alex unconscious on the ground, and looks over at Jack and says nothing but just runs up and gives Jack a huge hug.
She'll wrap her arms around Min and just kind of stand there stiffly for a moment before she'll take me by the shoulders and gently push her away before she stoops to Alex to use her healing hex and see if that does anything. Like, to wake him up or anything.
Yeah. You're able to bring him around, kind of bring him back to consciousness. You get the idea that he passed out more from the shock of it all rather than a lack of vigor. But he begins to come to. Says, what happened?
Alex.
Tell me this was all just a bad dream.
Can I run up and hug him?
Unfortunately, it wasn't. It seems you... Well, you were turned into a lizard. Probably eventually would have turned into a drake, maybe. I don't know. Hopefully not.
He didn't look like a drake. He just looked like a lizard.
Randy's kind of trying not to show that he was getting tears earlier. You were a lot more tolerable that way, I will say.
Yeah, Min's just a weepy mess right now.
And you will notice that Alex still looks very haunted. Just his, there is a lack of understanding. Just trying to take in everything.
You should not worry too much about it, cousin. You just need to get some rest. We've been through a lot.
Right. Rest. Rest will be good for me. I'm going to go to bed. And he stands up and totters a little bit and walks kind of slowly back, still kind of in a daze.
Randy asks Philia, should we go with him?
Yeah, I go with him to help him out.
Randy follows.
My response to you is just to go with him.
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
All right, Randy, you follow Alex as he makes his way down. But as he gets to the lower deck where the bunks are, he kind of freezes up at the stairs and doesn't move any further.
Shut up!
Alex, everything good? Buddy?
This is where it happened. I was sick. And then I felt so cold.
We were by your side the whole time.
Yeah, you were here with us. I mean, it's actually pretty warm out right now.
I feel old.
I'm gonna go get a blanket for you. Just hold on a minute. I go down and get the warmest blanket I could find and come up and wrap it around him.
He takes the blanket and doubles it up around himself and doesn't get in his hammock. He just kind of sits down a little ways away. He seems very much withdrawn. And you can tell he's actually starting to sweat, but he's still wrapped himself up tightly
in
the blanket. All right,
Alex, why don't you come back up on the deck? I have a better idea. All right, Ophelia's going to go march up to the deck and try to find the first mate.
All right, you do some looking, and you do find the first mate. First mate Halrix is currently one of the few people who's still doing any kind of work. We find her back by the rudder as she is keeping the boat from just running into the shore on the river.
Excuse me. Our companion that was turned into a lizard, we were actually able to remove his curse, and he is now healed, but he needs somewhere to rest. Could he rest in the captain's cabin?
I suppose that will be fine. No one's going to be using it now anyway.
Thank you.
You
should
I
go back down?
As you prepare to go, she calls out to you and says, tell your friends we'll have to drop anchor when evening comes.
Right.
We'll push back. We'll follow the river as far as we can before it gets dark.
Okay. Alright, so I rush back and find Alex and start leading him to the captain's cabin. We're going to find a nice place for you to rest. You don't have to be down in that damp underbelly of the ship. Just relax and try to set your mind at ease. Think about one of your songs.
Right. Songs. And he comes with you. He's easy to lead right now. Seems pretty messed up, though, by the experience. Meanwhile, Min and Jack were back on deck. Ruka and Corazon have also kind of separated to go and try to deal with things. But as you get Alex kind of squared away to try to rest as well as you can, is there anything else that you all wanted to talk about?
Actually, I'm going to... Once he's kind of settled down, will he kind of go to sleep? Or is he going to be... more awake?
He seems to drift off into a restless sleep.
Alright, so I'm going to come out and address the party. We might need to figure out something about how to anchor the ship, because we're going to need anchor tonight, and we don't have one anymore.
I might possibly be able to have a solution for that, though I've never tried anything quite like it. unfortunately, they will only be able to borrow the anchor.
Well, a temporary solution is better than none.
Indeed. And Quicksilver, I have a question for you as the GM. Would an anchor be considered a tool?
Yes, it would.
Okay, yes. In that case, Min would indicate that she will temporarily tie a rope to her traveler's any tool, turn it into an anchor, and toss it off the side, and then she will go get it again when they're all ready to go.
They don't need the anchor down now. It's for tonight.
But yeah, usually it's off to the side of the boat anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just throw it all the way overboard.
Whoever's navigating the ship is in for a rude awakening.
But yeah, she'll wait until everyone's ready to stop before she does so, though.
Yeah, that looks like a good solution to me. Well,
I guess we should talk about what our next move is as far as the do you guys still want to try to go for what was in that tomb? Or
should we try take a more direct route, even though our chances are less.
Yeah.
I think it might be best for us to improve our chances as much as we can before. We will still have to hurry, very much so, especially since we have lost time. But another question for Quicksilver. Can Min make a knowledge check of some sort to see what she knows about the three people that attacked them?
Yes, you can do that. What kind of knowledge check would you like to do?
Let's go with Arcana, because I think Arcana would cover what I'm looking to learn the most.
Okay, go ahead and roll it.
Total of 18.
All right. You haven't run into anything like that before. However, it was pretty iconic. And there are plenty of stories about mysterious women appearing in the fog, showing up in twilight or in the pre-dawn dusk. You get the impression that this was an attack by a witch's coven, potentially with one or more hags in it. Hags are more powerful, more monstrous than witches, generally tend to be, but at the same time, the two on either side, they seem pretty monstrous in their own right. They did not look really human. The one in the middle looked completely human, although the way that she fought did not seem human. So, yeah, you get the idea that this was a witch's coven that you were fighting. Why they were after the boat, you're not sure.
Two more quick questions. Did she, the one in the middle, drop her disguise close to the end of the fight? Because I think Ruka had mentioned, you had mentioned to Ruka that she saw a large creature standing before her at the very end.
I'm sorry?
I'm trying to remember if the hag had dropped her because I believe you had mentioned to Ruka that she had seen a large creature attacking her, and when Ruka had attempted to walk away.
Yeah, she still had the disguise on, but it's almost like the disguise was stretched unnaturally.
Excellent.
I think almost like like a skin that wasn't her own, sort of thing. And so it did stretch to a large creature's size to be able to reach her and attack her.
Okay, good to know. And last question. Would Min know anything specific about the group and specifically about the number?
Three seems pretty iconic in stories as kind of the minimum. Sometimes there's more, but generally three is the minimum number that are mentioned in these stories. And there's always one leader who's kind of the powerful one that the others find their place under.
Okay, and the reason I'm asking this is because Min would say, I believe that three was the number of dangerous. It's a number dangerous for these types of creatures. Ruka, I believe, did manage to kill one. There are only two. Perhaps we have a small window before they manage to find someone else.
Randy kind of, his eyes perk up. And he kind of says, Maybe a sneak attack is in order.
Or perhaps simply slipping past them.
Yes, but you've forgotten how far that we've gone down river. It'll take us a while to get back.
I agree, but I don't know how many witches peruse these waters. It might take a week, perhaps, to find another witch willing to join in their evil doings. I do not know.
I think slipping by while they're weakened is a good idea. I'll be honest, guys, I still want to see what's in that tomb. And I'm still not excited about fighting a giant without any kind of additional help. So I think our best bet is push forward.
And to do so soon. Over a minute that we continue to go down the river. It's another few minutes it will take us to make our way back.
So should we... Actually, yeah, I'll ask in character. But, you guys think we should leave Alex with the crew?
I think that might be for the best. We wish to make sure that he is fully recovered before we put him under any more danger.
I agree.
Okay, I guess somebody better let Barkus know what the plan is. Barkus and Ruka.
I can do that.
How long is a short rest again?
There is no short rest in Pathfinder.
No?
It's only 5e.
Oh. Okay. Because Mark got some sleep the night before while we were all sitting up with Alex as he was changing. And then we got ambushed and everything went crazy. So I don't know if that I don't guess there's really been an opportunity to have a long rest at all.
Probably not. It's only been 3 hours since we last fought.
Okay.
Well, I think we're kind of on a time schedule here, so I think we do need to wake him up just to let him know what we're thinking, because we're going to need to make the final decision pretty soon.
And nods and says, I'll go get him. And she will head downstairs into the crew's quarters. Find Barkus and very gently shake him.
In the meantime, I'm going to ask the first mate about leaving Alex with them.
Man, what is it?
Bakra sweet. I guess a lot has happened in the past 15 minutes. Jack managed to heal Alex. He's okay.
Barkus is bolts up in the bed. That's excellent. He's returned to his form then?
Yes. Okay, he's a little tired and dizzy, but he's a horrible once again.
Perhaps praise to the ancestors.
Indeed, fate smiled upon us today.
Well, that's enough rest, I guess. Are we headed out again? What is the troop's intent?
And her face straightens. She takes a deep breath and she says, "Most of us believe that we should keep going.
We need to keep the giants from getting the Hammer of the Gods of Agrimosh.
You're right. That has to be our top priority. Of course. Now, all the more reason to be ready in case of any more run-ins with the dragons, of one kind or another. He's getting out of the bed, and he's going to pack on his... He's gotten used to sleeping in, like, half his armor, so he's just going to get armed and armored again, and kind of ready to head out. Small naps are obviously less than satisfactory, but they're better than nothing, so he's back on his feet, and he will head back to where everyone else is to just, I guess, final preparations.
Yeah, and Min leads him back. So
yeah, he'll go to Randy, and seeing kind of that it's still very troubled, Bark will just place a big paw on Randy's shoulder. We'll do all we can for him, but I think the best thing we can do is to work for the benefit of everyone else. Now you know what the drakes are capable of. There's a little bit of venom in his voice.
Yeah, I guess you missed my whole inspirational speech, didn't you? I'm with you guys. Like, I'm kind of going to see this one through now.
He'll look along his person and he'll hand one of his throwing axes to Randy.
How big is his throwing axe?
Well, it's a small weapon for a medium-sized, creature.
Thanks. This actually might come in handy.
I know it's not necessarily your exact style, but they've served me well. Clap on the shoulder again, kind of wraps it up.
Randy, just to put that into perspective, you could two-hand swing this axe.
Randy will... Randy's going to... How tall is this axe?
I'm just picturing it in my head. It's just like a little hatchet, the throwing axe, so...
Okay. Like, foot and a half?
Yeah, something like that.
Randy's going to put it on his belt. Where it is, harness it on his belt and have it ready.
He could probably use it as like a walking stick. How tall is Randy again?
3 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Randy would probably sling it over his back.
Okay. That's good. Randy's going to put this on his back, and it's definitely going to come in handy. And yes, Goodson, I do appreciate the symbolism there. And
there we go.
Another Assassin's Creed nod.
There we go. Dope. All right. Cool. Well, if we're all of one mind, then time to get everyone back to some kind of nearby port. And see if we can't make a plan to get to that tomb after all.
Yeah, I guess talking to the first mate's going to be, or acting captain, I guess, would be the next step. I think Philia went and kind of discussed things, went to discuss things with her.
Yeah.
Transition wipe.
Then how they get back to the city.
Okay, so, Philia, you're able to find the first mate again. She's still working the rudder, keeping the ship going. She looks tired, but focused and hard as flint. She sees you come back in. What do you need now?
My companions and I were on a very urgent mission, and we don't believe we can return to the city. So we were thinking about getting off sooner rather than later. Now, our one companion, Alex, we do not feel he will be able to continue this mission with us. So, we would like him to be returned to the city, and we have some friends there that could help him once you get to the city. But we like to ask for your assistance in this matter, and we could provide whatever financial means is necessary to secure him accommodations and whatnot.
She stops. She's just looks at you with kind of a hard look for several seconds before speaking up. When Rag first brought you all on board, I thought he was crazy. He didn't tell me anything about who you were or what you were doing. I knew he had some stupid agreement made with the Guild of Arms, though. Still, you've all fought very well. I'm sorry that you won't be going back with us. But we can stand to put you off.
Yeah, I'm sorry as well, but yeah, the mission is very urgent, so more lives could be in danger if we do not succeed.
Well, don't worry about the cost for your friend. I'll make sure that the Guild of Arms pays up on that. They'll have to figure out what they're going to do with this ship now. But that's not your concern. We can put you off immediately if you want. I'm sorry, I don't have any supplies I can send with you. Everything we have, we need to be careful of our rations till we get back.
I understand. And Iker and I won't need much besides what we have brought, so don't worry about it. And I am also sorry for your loss. The captain seemed like a very good man.
He was. I'll put you off on the south shore. We were attacked by those fiends from the north shore. Best I can figure out, that seems to be where they came from. So if we put you off on the south, you'll have your best chance of not running into them again.
Alright, I will gather my companions and make sure we're ready.
She nods and begins setting to the work of turning the ship slightly to bring it in closer to the shore.
Philia, were your horses stowed away on the ship?
I believe we left them.
Okay.
Is that true?
Yes, you did. You left them stabled at the Guild of Arms.
So we don't have our wagon or the horses. Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, very unfortunately.
We can still make good time on foot. All we need is a good set of directions. We should be well on our way.
Indeed. Quicksilver, is the local area wooded? More of like a bog? In my head, I envision seeing a forest on either side of the river, but I'm not exactly sure if that's accurate.
Yes, in this place, it is very much forested. The trees on the north shore come pretty close to the edge of the river, with just a little bit of a green space before they hit the bank and then the river. On the south shore, where you guys are at, that's actually where the road is that passes, kind of following the Wenden River up through the two brothers. It's not a very commonly used road because it just kind of dead ends, but it seems like it has been used in the past, perhaps by foragers, woodsmen, miners, that sort. So there is a bit of a road, some wagon ruts on the side, but there is also forest. The mountains on either side, which you guys, at this point, you have gone back down river. So you're going to have to kind of pass. You're going to have to go back through the pass. But it is mountainous on either side, so the ground is going to slope upwards away from the river pretty rapidly as it goes up the two brothers. The brothers, for those that don't remember, and I will link the map over again in Hangouts for those that don't have it at hand. But the brothers themselves are two mountains that are kind of twin mountains, one on either side of the river that flows through the mountain range of Pelagus. So,
all right. This is where we must say our goodbyes. And Min will, if Alex seems coherent, she will make her way back over to him. And she will say, Alex, I know that you have been through much. Why are we here? And I know that we must continue, but I think these people need a leader, even more than we do. They seem lost without their captain, and everything that you've done for us, I know you can do even more for them. Could you please travel back with them while we traverse on?
And you went in to talk to him?
Yes.
Randy followed.
Go ahead and do a sense motive check. Either that or perception, either one.
Perception. Total of 20.
He is not really lucid. He seems to be a little bit awake, but he's just kind of staring more than really receptive to what's going on around him. He doesn't look like he's hurt. He's not sick in that sense. Just traumatized.
Felia's going to write him a note and put it in his pocket.
Yeah.
And
Min will follow and will very stealthily slip his recorder back in as well.
Yeah, I guess we better return all the stuff we... considering the will hasn't been honored because he's still alive.
Does he have any, like, real adventuring stuff?
Yeah, he did.
Some of that I might just pull out for us to take since we're leaving.
Okay, he had a darkwood shield. He had
Gonna take his regular weapons, because I don't want to leave him defenseless, but I mean it's like adventuring gear type of stuff.
Okay, he does have the wand of cure light wounds.
Yeah,
we're taking that. All
right, so one of you needs to write that down in your inventory, whoever's going to carry it. He also had a flint and steel. He had 50 foot of silk rope. He had
15 Saints Own coasters.
Nope.
And I think that's about it of things that you might be interested in.
Hey, we better take those coasters.
I don't think so.
Min says, I think I might have enough. As she, like, reaches into her bag and pulls out, like, 50 of them.
Yeah.
Why do you have those? We're going to a cave.
Guerrilla marketing.
Okay.
We heard of this cave. Perhaps more adventurers will come.
Pass them out on the way back to the place.
Bark says nothing. He just takes one out and throws it shuriken style into the wall nearby.
See? They come in very handy. And who knows, once we empty out in a treasure chest, we could leave this in the bottom and say that, yes, Saint's Own, a true treasure.
Wow.
Could you imagine, Min, I'm sorry, but could you imagine opening up a treasure chest and just getting
all right,
an advertisement?
Let's get it while we're getting off the boat. All right, I'm pushing you.
Okay, so you guys take what you need. You say your goodbyes to Alex, and as you come back and reassemble close to the deck, you realize that the boat is much closer to the south shore, and looks like the crew are figuring a way to try to get the boat as close as they can, so you guys don't have as far to have to like swim slash slosh to the shore. Because they don't have an anchor.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, Min will come up and will inform the first mate of her intentions. Sorry. And will begin tying her black iron bar to the end of the anchor rope.
The first mate sees what you're doing and... All right, well, I suppose I'll trust you for it then. And she's not going to stop you, so do you throw your anchor out?
Yeah, she takes the black iron bar, and as she swings it over to the side, she says the word tres. And you see an anchor begin materializing as it leaves her hand over to the side.
All right, with a sploosh, the anchor drops in. The boat continues to follow the current a little ways before pulling taut on the anchor rope and swinging around and coming to rest in the water. That allows them then to be able to drop down the smaller longboat that they have. They only have the one, but they do drop it down, so that you guys can be rowed to the shore, as opposed to having to slosh your way to the shore.
Yeah, the men will stay at the edge of the shore and will ask when they're ready to go.
That's fine. So once you guys are moved to the shore with any of your gear that you're taking, Alex remaining below in the captain's cabin, then they pulled up the anchor line. The first mate quickly untied your iron bar. Or would it still be an anchor?
It would be an anchor until she returns it to an iron bar. Or until someone else does, because they don't need to... there's no alignment, attunement in this one, so they could take it and change it back on his own.
All right, well, in this case, they've not really dealt with this thing before. But that's okay, because they have a mountainous orc who's a part of their crew. And so after they hauled up the anchor, they untie it from the line. The boat's slipping, starting to slip downriver away from you guys. And the orc takes the anchor in one arm and almost like a shot put, just spins around twice before shooting it back towards you. And it slams into the bank, throwing dirt and bits of rock and embedding itself about 8 inches into the earth before stopping.
And is incredibly impressed. As she goes over and grabs the tip of the anchor and watches as it slowly returns back to the black iron bar.
Bart nods respectfully
to the mountain orc. Pumps a fist in the air.
The crew wave to you as they continue on their way, but then they turn to their work of getting back to Nethys Giril as quickly as possible. And they leave you there. And now you are in the wilds on the border of Korthalia with the northern waste just across the river from you. Korthalia and its relative safety just to the southwest and to the east, between the brothers, following the river, the wildlands. And should you make it far enough, even the Windshire, the bog, and the Ghostlight Marsh, all of those things that still stand before you. Do you guys begin your trek? You still have about half the day at this point.
Randy's going to tap Barkus on the shin and say, "Hey, you think you could use an angel on your shoulder?"
You don't even have to ask. He kind of stoops to give him a lift.
Yeah, this is much better. I'd only be slowing us down anyway.
He'll look over to...
Philia.
No, I just she disconnected. Okay. Oh. He'll look over to Philia.
Hi.
Need a lift as well?
Hello?
Yeah.
Lift. Can you hear us?
Sorry, guys, I'm kind of zoning out. Lots happened today.
Well, you can certainly hitch a ride just as easily as Randy. He'll gesture to help her up if she'd like.
Oh, but you're tired too.
Moving through this kind of territory is my business. Certainly won't be too bad.
Randy says, "Philly, it's probably the smarter decision right now, considering the terrain and stuff. I mean, we really don't weigh that much. We both of us combined, really, I mean, both of us combined, don't weigh nearly as much as his axe, to be honest."
He's fine. He'll start moving. Well, hold on. Did we confirm where Ruka is, by the way? She's with us, but, like...
Yeah, she and Corazon got off. Although, given where you are at, Corazon has gone ahead and shifted into scythe form. And she's kind of... You guys... Well, like, although she looks like she's deep in her own thought, but she could pick up...
She and Min can both fly, right?
I can, but I cannot carry anything while doing so, and it is very limited.
Okay.
Oh, because you usually train to smoke or something, right?
Yeah.
Well.
I'm okay for now. But, or is this like a... Are we trying to...
I'm just thinking, if we're going to be walking through some kind of, like, swampy area, you said we're getting onto a road, right? So it's not going to be too bad.
Yeah, yeah, just you walking. Have a road, and it's wooded.
Okay.
Yeah, it's mostly a wooded road. You're definitely walking through a forest, but you're following a river, so the trees aren't too dense.
Okay. Then I guess it's just going to come down to Barker's going to have to kind of check his pace to make sure that everyone can keep up. He'll scout ahead as much as possible, but he'll have Randy with him just to have an extra set of eyes. Excuse me.
That will be useful.
Yeah. Your woodcraft can kind of take up the rear position, I suppose, just in case.
Sure.
Great. Well, if we have our heading, then we can make some good time before we have to bed down. Let's away.
Indeed. We will follow you.
All right. You make your way... following the river, not making as good a time as you did on the boat,
but still making your way. And as night begins to fall, you guys have covered a good amount of distance. The mountains stand on either side of you, looming upward, but you haven't seen anything that would cause you to be concerned. There doesn't seem to be anything actively out looking for you right now. And as night begins to fall, you set up your camp. So what would you guys like to set up? Do you want a fire or no fire? What would you like to do?
How open is the area that we're camping?
It's still the same kind of lightly wooded area. It's right on the river. You could, if you want to go deeper into the woods away from the river, you could. To try to get a little more cover. You could look for something like that. If you want to, you could do a survival check to see if you can locate a better place.
I'd like to do that too.
Yeah, Mark will too.
Yeah, I think that'll do it.
You find a house.
Yeah. You build a house. Jeez.
Welcome to Bree's home.
I just want you guys to know that finding houses out in the middle of the wildlands, especially in hag country, is not always a good thing.
Very true.
Keep that in mind.
True. Hey, it's made of candy. What's this?
Yeah. I smelled gingerbread all of a sudden. House made of
candy.
No, you don't find a house, but you do find a glen, a place where there's a low place in the ground, some large trees, particularly around it, that seem to kind of isolate this little area. And it seems like it's a good place to set up camp. It's a place where your fire would be fairly well blocked from view, and you guys would not be visible either.
Brady takes one look at the trees. And he says, yeah, you guys know where I'm sleeping tonight. I'm going to take point up in one of those trees later on, just in case.
Bark will just go ahead and kind of set things up, lay down his bedroll, stake out the area, just keep it all on the up and up, and he trusts Randy, so I think Bark's gonna hit the hay. He's probably pretty much wiped out again.
I would imagine.
Yeah. So yeah, Randy's gonna take the first watch.
Min is definitely gonna sleep tonight.
I might be able to take second watch.
All right, Randy has first watch?
Yes.
All right, go ahead and roll a perception check for me.
Hang on, perception, that's an 18.
All right, you don't see anything. Everything seems quiet. From your vantage, you can just see the river to the north of you guys through the trees. See the moonlight on the river's surface. Everything seems clear. There's the light sound of some creatures moving around you, but that's a good thing because that means that there's relative safety. Everything's pretty quiet. Your watch passes without any interference. Who has second watch?
I do.
Okay, go ahead and roll a perception check.
All right, somehow I grabbed the wrong character sheet, so let me see. I don't think Colin is in this party.
don't know.
If he was, I wouldn't know it.
Yeah. Fair enough. Cone is everywhere. And nowhere. Schrodinger's rabbit.
He's mostly where he had a friend. Fourteen for a perception check.
All right. As you pass your watch, looking around, listening, you hear some movement nearby, and you kind of look for it, and try to figure out what it is, and you begin to think it might be something dangerous, it might be something that's coming. And then just as whatever it is steps out into some broken kind of mottled moonlight, you recognize that it's a deer, and it looks like it's a doe and her fawn that are moving through the brush. And so with a wash of cold relief kind of flooding your system, you pass the rest of your watch and nothing seems to come to you. Who has the third watch?
Jack will take it.
All right, I'm going to go wake up Jack. Well, it all seems quiet. I even saw a deer, so it doesn't seem like many predators are around here.
No, deer's a good sign. You get some sleep.
Felia doesn't need to be asked twice.
All right, Jack, go ahead and give me a perception check.
Twenty.
Okay, you pass your watch, and as dawn begins to break to the east, sending its golden rays through the trees, nothing comes. It was a quiet night in the woods here. So, yeah, you guys have passed through the night. You eat a quiet breakfast, you make your plans, you break camp. Is there anything you would like to do before you head on your way?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. It's just generic woodland. Maybe Bark might take a minute to look around, see if he can find anything they might be able to eat. That's just like some berries or edible roots, things like that lying around. Just exercise some woodcraft.
Okay, go ahead and do a survival check.
Total 24.
Yeah, you look around, you're able to find some berries. You find even a couple of mushrooms that are edible, not poisonous. You find a few fresh herbs, not a whole lot, but you did find what looked like a little bit of some kind of a wild oregano that was growing. So you're able to come back with a small treasure trove of fresh greens.
He'll pass those off to Randy and just intimate to him there for our next real meal. You know, fold those up in a little skin bag that he has amongst his possessions. And whoever wants a ride, let's head out.
Started to miss those steaks already.
Hey, he'll pass, you know, if I know we're making pretty good time, I imagine. But he's also gonna make sure that Randy is reading passages of the Dragon Anatomy book to him while they travel.
Is there any way that I can turn this journey into sort of like a study session to improve one or another thing that Barkus has going for him?
Interesting.
So you're saying that Barkus has just invented the first audiobook?
Yeah, it's Randable.
All right, while I'm tempted to make Randy do a linguistics check, it's pretty simple reading. So yes, you're able to have more of that reading done. And incidentally, those of you that have been working towards specific traits, I don't remember, did I give Barkus his trait yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, consider it given. So you've had plenty of time to read and to look into the book. And yeah, you have learned a lot, especially on this trip. We'll kind of take it in stride with having Randy read to you. And Randy, if this is something that piques your interest, you could probably continue to read on your own time and learn a little bit about dragon anatomy yourself. So, but
okay.
Just for purposes is that like here, a... basically what happens is if you want to gain special bonuses for your character, if your character has certain interests, let's say that you wanted to be able to do more damage to dragons or something like that.
Okay.
91, the trait specifically that you're looking for, what is the benefit that it gave you?
I believe it was called Drake Anatomist, and I'm trying to find it in my little book here. Let's see if I've misplaced it. Look it up on the website real fast.
I think that's something that Randy would definitely be interested in, considering his size and the fact that, you know, he kind of works with a... Is it only, can you, okay, for gameplay purposes, can you only acquire one trait? Like, how does that work?
No, you could gain a limitless amount, okay, but it has to be gained in-game.
In-game.
When you level up your character, when you get a level up in experience, then you gain whatever by the book you would gain for leveling up, however you choose to do so.
Yeah.
But if there's something extra that you want to pursue and you don't want to take the feat additional traits for it, then you can let me know what it is and find a way that your character can train for it in-game. So in this case, Barkus has been reading up about Dragon's Anatomy and actually went out and bought a book on it. So he has gained this trait for free, as it were.
Yeah, I feel like Randy would have gotten this, you know, by proxy or reading it out loud. Is that okay?
Well, I will say that Randy is on his way to getting it, but Barkus has been reading for several days.
How long does it take to get the trait?
It just depends on how much time you choose to give it. So, but there's been multiple times when Barkus... There's been several times when Barkus opted to say, hey, I'm going to sit down, I'm gonna be reading my book. So that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Okay.
So if you want to borrow the book, you can.
Yeah, but Randy will borrow the book on his own time, but in the meantime, he's going to spend a good portion of it reading it out loud.
There you go. Excellent. Drake Anatomist has been added to Bark's list of treats.
So
I put the link right there in the chat.
He's been reading that for, what, weeks? I mean, since we went to the library.
Mm-hmm.
So how long would it take for me to gain that trait? Sorry, just for specifics, I guess.
It's not a fixed number of sessions or anything like that. It literally has to do with how much time in character you spend training for it.
Okay.
And I will try to keep track of that myself on the side, so just let me know if that's something you're doing. You know, if you're like, hey, I'm going to stay up on this watch and just read for this watch.
Okay.
You know, that sort of thing.
All right.
Minus to perception.
Well, if it's not your watch and you just choose to stay up with the person, you could stay up and read.
That's true.
So, anyway, you guys head out, or is there anything anyone else wanted to do?
Yeah, I'm heading out.
Let's journey.
This is the Indiana Jones style map montage That's what we're doing now.
Yes, essentially. So you guys make your way up and pass another day. Let me get a sense. Who is leading this journey?
Probably Barkus.
Yeah, I think Barkus.
He's the tracker or whatever. Yeah.
All right, and Barkus, go ahead and give me a survival check with advantage. You do have the river to follow, but go ahead and give me a survival check.
I would also be kind of keeping track on where we're going.
Yeah, I guess Randy would just be reading the book, so he's not really paying attention.
Got 24 and 30.
How much?
There's a 24 and a 30, so we're going with the 30.
Okay. Yeah, you're making really good time, and I want to go ahead and get a high or low from you.
What does that mean?
It means that you choose high or low.
Oh.
It's a 50-50 chance. It's like a coin flip.
Oh.
Heads or tails. But...
Also known as a D2.
Oh, well, there you go. Let's go with high.
Okay, so to better explain that, a high or low is where two percentile dice are rolled, so you get a number between 0, well, I guess between 1 and 100.
Sure.
And then high or low, below 50, above 50, sort of thing. Whatever's rolled, so you get the same effect as a D2. Okay, anyway, very good. So as you move along, you do come across what you think might be some kind of a predator's tracks. You look at it, you think maybe it's bear tracks, but they don't seem particularly fresh, and they're not going in your direction. They seem to be going from down the mountain towards the river, so and then back. So apparently there's a bear that lives further up the mountain to the south of you, since you're moving east, and it comes down to the river to get food or water, that sort of thing. But you move on your way and don't have any issue with it. So you come to the end of the second day. Go ahead and let me know, or let me have a survival check, see if you guys can find a good place to stay for the night.
Oh, Bark has a critical fail, but we have several other talented perception and wisdom people here, so I'll let other people help out here, too.
Would a perception check help?
I just meant like that I would imagine you probably got a high enough wisdom score that it would be helpful to also look.
This needs to be a survival check, so... Okay.
So yeah.
Perception is not really going to go there.
I think Billy is up for them.
Is this a second survival check?
Yes.
Okay.
Marcus is like, this patch of poison ivy is the perfect place for us to stay for tonight.
I'm sorry, guys. I've been kind of burning the candle at both ends. I think I'll sleep right here.
Could a knowledge nature or geography work too?
Did you roll a survival check?
Well, I don't have that much points in survival, but
when born, a dragon's scales are soft as tissue paper and slowly harden while the dragon grows. The process of getting scales as tough as they can get takes about 1 year after being hatched. Some have horns or spikes on their heads and running down the spine. The eyes of the dragon also vary according to breed. Some have pupilless eyes, while some have vivid purple eyes with pupils. The one most commonly
Alright.
Barkus!
What happened?
As you look around to find a place, you don't find a place as nice as the one you had the night before. You do find a place that's closer to the river. Seems like there's a thicket that you guys might be able to make use of to kind of block the vision, but it doesn't give you complete protection like the last one did. This one, you're going to be partially exposed. So do you guys want to use a fire or not?
No.
Is it... How's the weather?
It's already dark, right?
It is twilight. It's getting dark, yes. Okay. The skies still appear clear.
Yeah, we probably really shouldn't light a fire. I mean, if we want to cook food, we should probably do that in the morning.
Yeah, that's fine, I suppose.
You could just eat dry rations or whatever.
Yeah, adventurers' kits come with a little bit of rations, don't they?
Yeah, we have rations.
Yeah.
I mean, we were planning to be on a journey. Not this long on foot, but we had stuff.
Yeah. Maybe if you do watch again, Philia, if you see another, you know, any other wildlife, maybe you could do some hunting.
I suppose.
Marcus will stretch out on his bedroll and promptly fall asleep and begin to snore as only giant tiger dragon men can.
All right, and who has first watch?
Ruka.
Yeah, let Ruka get it.
Just kidding.
Why not? We could probably just reverse the roll of last time, or if Min wants to jump in.
Min needs her sleep.
Okay, fair. We've got a giant cat, and we've got some heavy sleepers, so it's up to the light sleepers to...
Yeah, I suppose I can get carried tomorrow if I'm tired.
Well, I can, Randy's like, I can do third watch this time, if that's okay.
Alright, I'll do second watch again.
Jack. Alright, we'll say that Ruka takes the first watch. Alright. So she settles in for her watch. Corazon is with her. He's back to himself, and the two of them talk quietly as they stay on watch. Nothing seems to happen. Second watch.
Me. Okay, I'm awake. I'm awake.
A three?
No, how much for what?
You need to roll your perception.
Okay. You sit your watch. Once again, things are quiet. Not as many animals. And almost seems too quiet. And you do notice that there is a bit of a mist that seems to be on the river.
Okay.
But other than that, nothing.
Does it seem like a humid night?
Yeah, it's a little bit humid. So it
seems like a night that would be kind of misty.
Yeah, it seems natural enough, but still, it's there. The mist doesn't reach to where you guys are. You're probably a good 100 feet off the river or so. So you've got some distance from the river, and it's broken trees. Third watch.
All right, Randy, it's your turn. It's kind of quiet out there, but I don't see anything.
I hate mornings so much. Ugh, okay. Randy sluggishly climbs up the tree that climbs up the nearest tree to take his watch. Why did I volunteer for third watch?
All right. Perception check.
Yep. That's what I'm doing.
It wasn't all just flavor. 29.
All right. The mist seems to cling to the river fairly heavily. As the pre-dawn light starts to come in, fingers of it kind of reach up a little way into the trees, but it is a humid morning. You notice that there are more bugs. It seems like it's hotter today than it has been. You guys are, you know, getting into the end of the summer into fall, so it kind of makes sense that you're going to have some hot days, but it seems like this is going to be a warmer day, and it just feels like a sticky, sweaty day.
Is there any kind of check I can do on the mist, just in case? Because it does look suspicious, and I do remember, and Randy does remember what the witches did.
Yeah, go ahead and do a nature check.
Knowledge nature, that is, I don't have that specified, but that is a 20.
Okay, you look at it, and it seems natural enough. I mean, you are a little bit haunted by your past experience, and that is perfectly understandable. But as much as you don't like it, as much as it makes you uncomfortable, it doesn't seem unnatural.
All right, it's fine, I guess. Well, I guess I better read ahead on this book a little bit. Marcus is still expecting me to read to him. And I'm going to spend the rest of my watch reading.
Okay. Morning comes. The rest of you wake up. It's warm. It's a little sticky and humid. There are bugs already buzzing around you, some mosquitoes, some flies. It's going to be a pretty horrible day at this rate. do you guys take time for breakfast, or are you going to head out?
Breakfast, the most important meal of the day.
What about first breakfast?
Yeah, we haven't had much of a meal time since we started walking.
Hey, Bacchus, you kind of want to do something special for breakfast? I know it's a little bit of a hot morning, but maybe we can do some hunting and see if we can get something together.
As long as it doesn't take too long, it's a good idea. I'm going to try to forage a little bit.
I'll see if I can't find a deer or some rabbits, perhaps. He'll grab his bow. Well, I mean, he's got his normal weapons in it. You know what? Actually, I think to maybe lend himself an additional... Could I make a trade here, Mr. GM? If he leaves his heavy, like his axes, behind and just goes out with his bow, could I tack an extra little bonus to stealth?
Your axes don't really hinder your stealth. Armor does. What kind of armor are you wearing?
Well, he's not going to swap out his armor. It's the Mithril armor that he had special... Maybe.
Well, Randy kind of had an idea as far as you know, doing kind of a little bit of a team exercise. You know, he could be up in the trees, and Marcus could signal down, possibly.
Maybe drive some prey around. I mean, all right, sure. Let's.
You could use message to communicate.
Sure, that could work. Let's go hunting. He'll just take his weapons with him. We'll forget the stealth bonus thing. Let's not worry about it.
All right, you go hunting. So go ahead and give me a survival check.
Total 29.
All right, you pick up the trail of what looks like a deer.
Very good. He'll follow that trail, keeping low to the ground, taking easy steps, a few at a time, and glancing through the brush. After just 4 or 5 steps, he'll stop, scan, looking for movement or unnaturally parallel lines in the woods. Nature abhors a horizontal line. So he's scanned. He's got a bow or an arrow knocked to his bow. He's ready.
Randy is also following up in the bush, trying to be as quiet as possible so as not to disturb any wildlife he may come across as well.
All right, you come within sight of a young stag. Seems to be by himself, making his way slowly through the underbrush, looking around every once in a while, but doesn't appear to have noticed you yet. He's probably about 80 feet away.
With message, Marcus will murmur quickly but quietly, "Would you like to descend on our friend there, or shall I take him with an arrow?"
Let's see how close I can get.
Very well. And he will draw his bow and hold it, just in case the deer decides to move.
Randy's got to make his way through the trees to get as close as possible in order to, kind of dive on the deer.
Okay, give me a stealth check.
Yes. That is a 30.
Okay. The deer does not notice you, and you're able to move around so that you can get kind of in front of it to where it actually is passing very close to you.
Am I still within reach of within reach of message to Barkus?
Yeah. Yes,
you are.
100 feet, right?
Okay. It's like, I'm right on top of him.
Be my guest.
Randy will dive down and attempt to give a quick killing blow to the stag.
All right, make your attack roll. And since you have him flat-footed, so this is sneak attack.
It's a critical fail.
So it falls out of the tree or something?
Eagle noise. Collapse into leafy bed of forest floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. So you've seen people that just flat fall into a pool before. Like, Randy jumped and is like a halo diver, coming down, arms and legs spread, dagger out in one hand, except it was only about 20 feet down to the ground before you just splatted right next to the deer. And the deer ran. He bolts. Barkus, the deer bolts. You see a shape of Randy drop out of the tree before disappearing with a loud crash into the underbrush, and the deer bolts, headed back south, up towards the mountain.
Can I take a shot?
Yes, you can.
All right. 25.
Okay, 25 hits. Roll damage.
Okay. That is 6 damage.
Okay, you hit. And do you get multiple shots?
That has to do with the base attack, right?
Correct.
Okay.
You should get 2 shots at this point as a level 6 character.
Oh, okay. And I'll roll again. Ooh, critical hit that time.
Excellent. Roll damage.
Total Do you double it after the roll and then the plus two?
Or do yes, you double the... everything.
Oh, okay. So you add it all and then double it for the crit. Cool. Okay, then that is a total 20 damage.
All right, the first shot struck the deer, but the deer kept running. The second shot struck the deer, and it fell.
He will immediately bolt over to where the deer is, and assuming that, well, he'll, regardless, he'll finish it very quickly, very cleanly, and throw the deer over his shoulders and walk over to where Randy is.
Randy, you are just sitting up. You have to spit a few leaves out of your mouth, pick some twigs out of your hair as Barkus comes over with the deer thrown over his shoulders.
Well, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, apparently.
There are rangers, and there are... well... Just laughs and starts walking back.
It was worth a shot. I've always wanted to go hunting.
I've seen worse on a first hunt. He'll smear some of the blood on Randy's cheek. It's tradition.
Not a first time for that, if you'll believe me.
Back to the camp, then.
All right, you make it back. The mist has burned off with the sun. However, it's still hot, and there are bugs. However, with a small fire burning and the smoke, the bugs seem to lessen a little bit, and you're able to cook some of the meat. Are you planning to prepare some of it to take with you as well?
I don't know that we would have time to, like, dry it to make jerky or anything like that, but, I mean, it could potentially be wrapped very quickly and cooked later. There's not really any way to refrigerate it, is there? You could salt it, maybe? I don't know.
Would a cook check be able to determine whether or not we are able to save some of it?
Yeah, go ahead and do a cook check to see how much you can save out of it.
Oh. There we go. Fourteen.
Okay, you're able to cut enough for breakfast as well as a fair amount that you could probably use for the rest of the day. You're not really sure how you would keep it longer than that, particularly on such a hot day. You think the meat is likely to go in the sun. Yeah.
That's fair. We'll eat up and enjoy our meal and prepare to head out again.
Okay, you guys head out. And as you move today, go ahead and give me another survival check. Again, with advantage.
25 and 20. So 25.
Okay, you're able to stay on track, and as you move, there's nothing really in your way. You guys are now moving. You have successfully moved through the pass, and you're coming out. You can tell that you can't really see it from here because you're in the middle of the trees, but things are definitely staying hotter, stickier, more humid, and the ground is starting to get softer.
Up the mountainside? Or we're headed down the mountainside now.
Well, you were headed kind of along the base of the mountain.
Right.
But you are now passing east of the mountain. You passed around its north face, and you're getting around to the east face, the northeast side of it. And that is where the ground is starting to get softer. Also, the river is wider. It seems a little bit stronger. And Yeah, things seem to be changing here. The trees are still pretty dense where you're at, though. So you guys continue walking. You make it that far. You figure probably the next day you'll make it all the way through the pass. So go ahead and give me your survival check for camping one more time.
Since we are now officially in mountainous terrain, albeit very wooded mountainous terrain, that's going to take it up two more. So this is 34.
All right. You locate a good spot. The ground is softer here, but you find a spot where there's kind of an outcropping of rock. And you kind of get up in the rocks, and it's almost like a natural little tower that you found. So you guys set yourself up there. And it looks like you would be able to make a low fire and it wouldn't be visible. A big fire and you think the light might be visible, might draw somebody, but a low fire should be okay.
All right. As before, Bark turns in and makes the morning.
All right, I'll take first shift.
Randy will take second.
Jack will take third.
Okay, go ahead and give me the first watch.
Crit success.
Nice.
Okay. As you're sitting up there and watching, everything is quiet. There do seem to be animals here. So that's a good sign. But you also see to the east, the direction you guys will be going, glowing lights that just seem to kind of swell from nothingness, kind of slowly coming to life, floating for a little bit before dimming back into nothingness. Almost like fireflies, but you're seeing them very far away, so they must be a lot bigger than fireflies to see them from this distance. And you look, it's hard to count them because they dim out so quickly, and it's hard to know exactly how many there might be, but you get the idea that these lights pretty much cover the area in front of you.
Okay.
Other than that, nothing happens. Second watch.
Does Thalia inform Randy about the lights?
Yes. There's these lights. Seem pretty far away, but they kind of dim in and out like a firefly or something, but they don't seem to be getting any closer or anything.
All right, I'll keep an eye on it. Yeah, you go ahead and go to bed. Check it out. How high is the highest tree in the area?
The trees here are about the same as they have been. Probably most of the trees are no more than 50 feet tall.
Randy's going to climb to the top of one of them and a weather eye on the east from the information he got from Philia. I'm guessing you want my perception. All right.
Yeah, go ahead and give that to me. If you don't mind.
Yeah, of course not. 19.
All right. You look, you can see the lights. Don't know what they are particularly, but there they are. They do seem to be a ways out yet. They're not around you guys. It's more like you're seeing them in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing happens. Everything's pretty quiet. From up where you're at, you do get a view of the stars. However, you realize that there looks like there's a storm front that's moving down from the northeast. You can see the tall, dark clouds as they're slowly making their way towards you guys, passing over into the southwest.
Huh. We're heading right into a storm. How poetic. Randy's got to keep an eye on the storm and on the lights in the duration of his watch.
Okay, you finish your watch. Nothing seems to happen. Third watch.
Randy does inform Jack about the lights as well.
She'll keep an eye on what she can.
All right, perception check, please.
24.
All right, as you are watching, you see the lights, but everything's pretty quiet. Nothing happens. You guys pass the night without event. The next morning comes around.
Does Jack have a clear view of the stars or the storm clouds covering them?
Yeah, you can still see some of the stars. Not as many as could be seen before, but you can still see some of them. More of the stars to the south, you can see.
Okay. She'll, just in the quiet of the night, hushed to Bast. What a predicament we found ourselves in. Smoke giants, hags, dragons of all things. Yeah. Certainly an adventure I didn't expect to have. What about you, huh? No. She'll look over up at the stars. I hope they're proud. I hope they're watching.
On an unrelated note, and not to ruin any kind of mood or anything like that, that was awesome. I had a question about the Stars of the Faithful, the symbol of Luenneth. Is that an actual constellation?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Just kind of for my future reference.
Also, Jack is going to use Guiding Star to determine exactly where they are, because she can do that.
Okay, then if you were to look at the map that I linked earlier, you guys have been making your way up the Wenden River, and you see where it dips behind the mountain. You guys are pretty much just right on that corner, just on the northeast corner there. So you are coming out of the pass, and you are definitely coming into Bogland. And within the next day, you could expect to see the Windshire.
Okay.
When Randy wakes up, he realizes that it's been a while since he actually said a prayer to Luenneth, and he's going to take some time to do that. Just some time alone to pray. And he's gonna take out his Stars of the Faithful and start praying.
And you do that as in the early morning?
Yeah. Well, basically when he was awakened by Jack returning from her watch, and he's gonna, you know, take a little bit of early time to pray. And I'm also gonna see if there's some kind of trade I can do for doing that too.
All right, very well. The rest of you are waking up. It is hot again. It's a little bit muggy again. What would you like to do? Do you eat breakfast or do you head on your way?
Probably eat breakfast.
I was going to say, when's the last time we had a real a decent thing to eat? Was when we hunted the deer. That was the last serious thing we had to eat.
The deer meat. I think breakfast is our best meal because it'll give us energy and we don't have to worry about alerting the entire forest with a fire.
Right. Well, Barkus sort of grins. I've always been partial to a good raw rabbit. I'll just kind of stalk out into the woods.
Okay, you do your thing. I'm going to look for some edible plants.
All right, give me survival checks.
Knowledge nature? To find edible plants.
Knowledge, nature. Give me your knowledge checks, and that may have a bearing on your survival checks. But survival is the skill for tracking down this sort of stuff.
Okie dokie.
Knowledge, nature is 25, and survival is 22.
All right, Barkus, you are able to find your rabbit.
Raw and wiggling.
Mm-hmm. A brace, or just one or two?
So evidently, I know what more plants are than what I could find. Got a 19 and a 5.
Okay, so you know what you're looking for. You just have a little bit of a harder time finding it. You are able to find some berries, some edible greens, that sort of thing. Not as many as you would have liked. And part of it, because of the softening of the ground, the more bog-like nature here, things just tend to be a little bit more rotten.
Has anyone brought up the lights in the middle of the night to the rest of the group?
Yeah, Bark would want to know about something like that, but he slept through it every time. So hopefully someone said something.
Were you guys awake before you went off foraging, or were you slipping in?
Me? Probably awake.
Okay, I wouldn't mention. I probably would have been talking to the other two watch about it, trying to figure out if they were there all night or whatever. Like, we're probably talking about it.
Yeah, we would determine that they were there all night, I think. Then, probably after everybody's doing their morning activities, we would probably just kind of tell the group.
Interesting. Lights in the night, really?
Yeah, and I think they were to the east, so We're going to be heading right towards them.
Very interesting. Perhaps there's something natural. And then we'll take a moment to focus inward as she prepares her mind. Just a few psychic exercises, and she will cast Heighten Awareness.
I mean, they were quite a ways away from the appearance, at least.
Indeed, but if we are headed towards them, it might be best to know before we actually arrive. And she will focus inward again, and she will cast True Skill. Now, Quicksilver, would Min be able to make a Knowledge Nature check based on the descriptions?
Yes.
Okay. Total of 31 for Knowledge Nature.
Woo!
All right, you take into account the area that you're going into a bog. You also think about some of the things that you guys were told about the particular bog that you're headed into. It was called the Ghostlight Marsh. So it is very probable that there are Will-o'-the-Wisps there. And Will-o'-the-Wisps are known to appear as a ghostly sort of a floating light that kind of phases in and out, glowing and fading, glowing and fading. So that does seem like that could be what it is.
It seems that we are getting close to the ghost lights of the Ghostlight March. They tend to fade in and out. And a quick question for you, Quicksilver. Will-o'-the-Wisps, are they dangerous in your world?
That was going to be Randy's next question to Min, so.
They can be. They're not always dangerous, but they can be. Will-o'-the-Wisps are sometimes they're fey creatures, but those, well, let me see. A Will-o'-the-Wisp, in this case, is different from like a fairy or something like that. A Will-o'-the-Wisp is a soul that was somehow trapped or unable to move on. So they can be dangerous. They might not be, but if they're aggressive, if they are spiteful, then they can attack and cause problems. And potentially drive people insane.
You know, little things like that. It might be potentially good to know. And Min shares the senses. Yes, if they are Will-o'-the-Wisps, it's probably best to give them a wide berth. They are the remnants of those who have passed on, but have not fully passed on. If we encounter them, they could attempt to harm us or attempt to harm our minds. So for the future, no touching.
Good to know.
But, well, once we have breakfast returned to us, I believe we should go.
I think I'm good on breakfast this morning, so yeah, I'd say we head out. I think Marcus and Billia are out foraging.
Yeah. Barkus returns to camp with his couple of rabbits He'll pass them along to whoever's interested in some raw rabbit meat, but, you know.
And would definitely request to have it cooked.
Yeah, Randy's gonna. Yeah, Randy, do a quick meal for everyone else. He's gonna kind of sit this one out, though. That is a 24 on a cook check.
Okay, you are able to cook it up very well.
I used some of the oregano that Marcus found at the last foraging. But it turns out to be perfectly seasoned. Randy's kind of just nervous about the lights. That's why he's kind of not hungry right now.
Well, you need to eat, otherwise you'll get weak.
I'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
You've had a lot of trouble before, and you might not have a good time to eat if we get in trouble again.
Somewhat annoyed and somewhat appreciated of the gesture, Randy half-heartedly takes a couple bites of rabbit.
All right, you guys eat your breakfast, preparing to move forward. And as you move forward, once again following the river, you do notice very quickly that you are leaving the mountains behind. You also notice that as you pass away from the brothers, away from the mountain that you've been following, there is immediately a marsh to the south of you. There seem to be little streams that are running, joining the river out of it. So it's very wet. Many places you have to ford across some of them if you want to keep moving in that direction. But you also see ahead of you what seems like a vast grassland that seems to slope up and away. Until you get close enough to realize that that is simply the height of the grass. And you really can't see the grassland from here. Because as you look at it, the grasses in this marsh get knee deep, waist deep, shoulder deep. By the time you get to the other side of the marsh, they're well over Barkus's head, and they keep going.
Okay.
I'm back. Yep. You can't tell exactly how far or how high these grasses get, except that you can tell that within a couple hundred feet of the marsh headed into this grassland, it is just a towering wall of grass, perhaps 15, 20 feet tall. And it is dense and thick. The ground beneath it seems to be just as marshy as the ground directly to the south of you. The river continues on its way, turning a little bit, moving north, or rather coming from the northeast as it flows southwest. The north shore seems to be much more stable, much more like the shore that you've been walking on. The north shore seems unaffected by this marsh, but the whole south shore of the river seems fetid. It seems to be a little bit flooded, marsh-like. Very wet. Your feet are sinking into the ground. So you have made it to the other side of the mountains. And now the marsh stands before you directly to the south. What would you like to do?
Who has that map again? Of where we need to go? I thought somebody had a map of like where.
I'm looking at the one on Google Drive right now.
Oh, sorry. I was talking in character.
Oh yeah. Well.
Well, I imagine I would have it half the time. Barkus would have it half the time.
Okay. So, are we gonna have to go through this marsh in order to get the get to the tomb?
Not through it. Well, I guess through it. It is on the west side of it.
Indeed, I believe we wrap around the mountain and head straight north.
If we can make our way to Drake Hall, my kin should have accommodations for us on our way. I imagine they'd want to help us in this preventing of a war at any rate.
Isn't that a bit beyond our destination?
Yeah, I think so.
It is. I'm looking at the map a little too close. Never mind. Although, Barkus will kind of experimentally walk down towards the edge of all this mush and gush. He will kind of look at his hands and then sort of just look down at the grasses in front of him. And he's going to cast Ray of Frost. He's got it's a cantrip of his. So he's just going to blast the ground in front of him with Ray of Frost and see if that doesn't kind of harden up the ground a bit and make that grass a little more, you can maybe break it down in front of him.
All right. Well, as much as I don't like necessarily the idea of going into the marsh, that's where our destination is, so.
We're going to have to stay really close, though. I don't want to get lost.
What time is it, actually? What time of day is it?
It's still morning. You guys just set out maybe an hour, 2 hours ago. So it's probably no more than 9 o'clock.
So it's not too late to be venturing in. I wouldn't want to try to go in at night.
No. Bobby, up to my shoulders, please.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying. Actually,
extra height.
Yeah, how far, as you said, how far up does the highest grass go?
The highest grass is 15 to 20 feet, but that's a good 100 feet to the east of you, past the marsh. So well, you guys are still at the marsh. You're just kind of looking ahead at it.
Actually, that's a good thought. Hey, Barkus, you could do you could do your whole like big person thing once we get a little too deep into the marsh, couldn't you?
Certainly, you could do that.
To get super deep.
Yeah, I think we could do this.
Yeah. The more time we spend wondering about it, the later it'll be when we arrive. He starts moving forward, and just for ease of travel, until the stuff gets too big to really bear, he won't worry about magic yet. He's just going to walk into it.
Right.
So let me try to make sure that you understand. The wall of grass to your east is beyond the Ghostlight Marsh. The Ghostlight Marsh is to the south of you.
Oh, okay.
So if you turn and go south, kind of leave the river and go south into the Ghostlight Marsh, you really won't have to deal with the super tall grass. Philia would know the stories of the Verdant Sea and recognize that that's what this is. Ruka also would know, and Alex would know, but they're not here. But they would know the Verdant Sea is essentially a massive grass plain, where the grasses are so thick and tall that they've actually developed boats that travel on top of the grasses and essentially skim over the grass to get from locations spread out across. But there are stories about the things that live in the verdant sea, similar to the stories that sailors would tell of the monsters that wait at the edges of the map, that sort of thing.
Okay, so here's my question out of character. Which direction do we need to go in order to get to this tomb that we're reaching?
You need to go south into the Ghostlight Marsh. However, that's all you were told, was to go into the marsh and to find the Vault of Thorns.
Which we were also told was on the western side of it.
Yes, it was on the western side of the marsh. So that would put it pretty close to where the mountains are. So you're going to kind of probably want to stay close to the mountains. Which also means that the ground is a lot more firm. It's easier to get around on.
Well, there you go. Okay, then yeah, let's head that way. Coming a lot easier. Let's go.
Yeah. Into the marsh.
Every once in a while, Bark will ping detect magic. Just kind of consistently every, you know, few minutes, just to see if he can pick up on anything.
All right. Go ahead and give me a survival check. All right, you begin making your way. It's slow going. You don't have a good map. You don't have any map of this place. And just going with trying to detect magic, it's only a 60-foot radius that you are reaching out with that detect magic to try to detect something. You make your way into the marsh, and you start making your way through the marsh. Go ahead and give me perception checks.
Everyone or just him?
Anyone that wants to make it.
Crit success.
I would like to.
Same.
What are we doing?
Perception checks. Total of 14.
17. 29.
I think 17.
All right. As you guys make your way into the marsh, looking around, you see more of these lights. They seem to be all around you at this point. But behind you, you notice that they almost seem like they're following you. Still, they're dim. They're very dim during the daytime, seeming to cling more to the shadows, the dark places. But they still continue to follow you as you go. Farkas, your detect magic goes off. You locate something. It's to the west of where you're at. Towards the western edge of as you move in that direction looking for it, you notice that the ghost lights continue to follow you, moving there as well. And then you realize that there are two things that seem to be pinging. One of them seems to be a faint a faint sort of an enchantment magic. And the other one, just a second. And the other one seems to be a sort of a conjuration magic. The enchantment signature seems to be a little bit further to the north. Hmm. But you can see the place. There seems to be a little bit of a berm that rises up out of the bog. It has water pretty much all around it, but there's a little bit of a berm that stands out. It's maybe 30 feet across. It's not very big at all.
Can I have a knowledge arcana check to see if he can more specifically figure what the magical signatures are?
Sure. Go ahead.
Nice. Total 24.
Okay, which one are you focusing on?
The berm. Actually, he wants to see if he can recognize the conjuration vibe.
Okay, the conjuration vibe is coming from the berm area. So, okay. As you focus on that, as you get closer to it, you believe that it feels like some kind of teleportation magic. Hmm. And as you look around, you see what appears to be on this berm a ring around the edge of it where the water reaches it, a ring made up of a white rock, a patch of toadstools, some flowers, just other natural things that ordinarily wouldn't stand out. But in this case, they form a perfect circle.
Hmm. Spooky. He'll gingerly make his way towards those areas there. He'll be careful not to step into the ring, but he'll investigate a little further.
Okay.
Randy's still on his shoulders at this point, right?
I believe so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Marcus, where are you going?
Looks like magic to me. Fairy ring, do you think? He makes his way over towards the berm, and he gestures to these natural formations, carefully gesturing to keep them back from it, but also pointing them out as a good woodsman ought.
I don't know too much about this arcane stuff, to be honest. It does look weird.
Indeed. Perhaps.
Jack, any knowledge to impart here? Hello?
Jack?
Radio?
Sorry, wrong button.
Been there.
We've all done it.
Could I do, I guess, Arcana check to see what this would be?
Yes, you can.
Seventeen.
All right, you recognize this as it's a teleportation circle, but it seems to be druidic in nature.
She'll bend down and examine the stones, but not go into it. Well, it's druidic, definitely teleportation, but druidic.
Teleportation. That's a power I'd certainly enjoy having on my side. He'll kind of examine it. He's going to look around and see if he can find something to throw into it, into the ring.
Randy throws a knife into it.
Okay.
He's got a couple extra ones.
Throw your knife and it sticks into the soft, foamy earth.
It should have been a coaster. Okay.
Yeah, retcon, it is a coaster.
Okay. Gotta have throw it. Druids.
And it lands rolling to a stop inside the ring, but nothing seems to happen. It just sits there on the grass.
Any reason to believe that this teleportation ring would have something to do with our hidden trove?
Perhaps. I believe the tomb was the tomb of a druid.
Mm-hmm. It is a druid place. It's in Bolt of Thorns, specifically.
Theo cast his glance back, and he will focus his attention on the other magical signature now that they've got at least they've seen what this thing is. Yeah. There was another magical feeling I had. I should check it out before we try this teleportation circle out.
Indeed.
So yeah, we are definitely going to try the teleportation circle, right?
Like 29 on Knowledge Arcana for the enchantment. Magic.
Okay. It is an enchantment spell. You believe that it is a... It is something similar to a sleep spell.
That's going to pique his interest. Bark will... I don't think he's going to say anything. I think he's just going to walk toward it.
All right. You walk towards it, and go ahead and give me a perception check.
Randy will as well.
And since he hasn't said anything, Randy's just along for the ride here.
But yeah, it's kind of a passive perception just to see what's going on.
Total 24.
All right.
28.
Yes?
28.
All right. So, Barkus, you can generally see the pinging spot, so you know where it's at. So you do pick up on it before Randy does. But as you make your way away from the group, maybe 40 feet or so from the teleportation circle, you find, just as you kind of pull apart some of the swamp grasses, some of the marsh grasses that have grown up tall in an area, and laying asleep, nearly submerged in the water in front of you, is a unicorn.
Whoa!
With coal black fur.
What?
Head to tail. Huh. With just coal black.
Yeah.
With only a white shock of hair in the mane and a kind of a jagged white stripe on the muzzle from forelock to nose.
Whoa.
It is probably about 98% underwater. Its ears are underwater. Its nose is just barely out of water.
Randy grabs the rope. Let's get this thing out!
He's going to cast message on Philia, and as quickly as he can, he'll call everyone over to where they are, and then he's going to try his best not to wake the thing up, but he will sort of do his best to get the rope ready. Prepare yourself. He's going to put his hands on the ground and cast Ray of Frost to try and harden the ground to stop the sinking, if at all possible.
Okay, that's fine.
Cool.
Randy has a rope prepared.
And just for your input, for you guys to understand, unicorns in Avalon are a very rare thing to find. However, they are a race of beings that live here. They are not horses with horns on their head. They're much more the traditional fairy tale unicorn, so they are probably more like a deer. And their build, very slender. They have cloven hooves. They have tufts of fur at their feet and at the tip of their tail.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, probably built more like a deer or a gazelle.
Cool. Very good. Well, then, yeah, once everyone's around, he's going to do his best to, I guess, as many of you as can get a hand on it, let's see if we can't get him out.
Yeah, definitely. Randy is gonna do what he can.
Oh, you know, I think what may be the best here, someone prepare a sleep spell, something to if it does wake up, we want it to go back to sleep again. I can use my enlarge magic to help with the. No offense, but I don't know that any of you are going to be a huge help to the strength aspect here. I'd rather we all be ready in case it spooks or tries to attack or anything like that. Don't want to hurt it if we can avoid it, but, you know, better safe than sorry.
I can attempt to connect with its mind as soon as it awakens, if it seems hostile. But sleeping, unfortunately, that is something that I gave up some time ago.
Speaking to it mentally should probably be as effective as we would need. I should think, anyway. I don't... Wait. And look, he looks at Philia real quick. You don't actually speak to the animals, do you?
Philia?
Oh, no.
Like her wheelhouse.
I think that Philia has succumbed to a sleep spell of her own.
No. Okay. Do we want to pick up next time with a unicorn rescue?
I think this is a good place to end it, yeah.
Yeah, you guys have located a unicorn that seems to be under an enchantment of sleep. It wouldn't be hard for you to move. It's a medium-sized creature. It's not a horse. It's more like a deer. So, yeah. And next time, we'll find out what you do with it.
Great.
This is exciting.
Neat.
Don't kill it, whatever you do. It's a freaking unicorn, guys.
We're not going to kill it.
We'll do our best not to hurt it. Our absolute best.
We're trying to get it out of the marsh.
Oh, and Randy, Min would say, perhaps it would be best to find out where the teleportation circle goes before we step into it. For all we know, it could be a trap that teleports you to the bottom of the ocean.
Randy is visibly disappointed at the prospect of just lack of adventure.
All right, good job, guys.
A unicorn. All right.
No.
It's fun. This is like a legit.
Sometimes you look for a unicorn and life gives you a goat. Apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more gazelle. So that's cool. I can dig that. That's fine.
That's cool. This is like the first time we've done like forest exploration. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. This was our New Zealand, you know, travel
montage
border travel montage episode.
Yep.
We didn't even have to like climb any actual like go through any snowy passes or anything like that. So I think we got the good end of this one. Mm-hmm. This was like a walk through Narnia. I can dig it.
Well, you guys did very well. And
did we like avoid a bear?
So. Yeah, you actually avoided several encounters that didn't happen. So you guys got a free pass. I guess fate was a little bit sorry for what you got last week.
For real. It was a little less exciting than normal, but I think we needed that. I think everybody needed the peace and quiet.
I kind of liked it, to be honest. It was really cool. Neat. Kind of, you know, wet hunting and kind of a camping trip almost.
I love having rangers.
The camping episode. Right, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I like that.
When's the last time that we leveled up? I forget. That's been a bit ago. Yeah.
All right. I was going to tell you guys about that. You should level up.
Yes.
Well, great.
Good.
Okay, cool. Good.
I'm so glad you guys remind me of these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Congratulations. Actually, your fight last week was just about enough to do it. So between that and some very good survival checks and perception checks and all of this, I think it's enough. So you guys have made it to 7th level.
Yay!
And you found a unicorn. So, you know.
Yeah!
It's all good.